Welcome to Logical, the first regular legal podcast from the UAE. I'm Tim Elliott. I'm here with our expert, the managing partner of the Dubai-based legal firm HPL Yamalova and Plethka, Ludmila Yamalova. Ludmila, good to see you.
Good to be here with you, Tim, as always.
In this episode, we're discussing significant legal changes that impacts life potentially here in the UAE. And we're diving into the major news about the liberalization of abortion laws in the UAE. Now, Ludmila, this is some announcement. Can you start by just telling us, giving us the bones of what this big news is all about?
Absolutely, Tim. So the UAE has recently introduced a new resolution, which is the Cabinet Resolution number 44 of 2024. So it is very new news, which significantly liberalizes, as you rightfully said, the country's stance on abortion. This particular resolution, which came into effect on June 21 of 2024, ultimately expands the circumstances under which abortion is now permissible.
It sounds to me, Ludmila, liberalizing is the word, the giveaway there, I suppose. Sounds like a major shift. What were the previous laws surrounding abortion like?
You are right. And so before this particular resolution, the UAE's abortion laws were governed by the medical liability law, which was the federal decree law number 4 of 2016, so fairly outdated by the UAE standards. And under that law, abortion was highly restricted. It was permitted under two very specific circumstances. One was a threat to the mother's life, and that in that case, so abortion was allowed if the pregnancy, for example, was posed a serious threat to the mother's life. So that was one reason or grounds for allowing abortion. And the other one was fetal abnormalities, and that was if severe fetal abnormalities were confirmed by medical reports and the pregnancy had not exceeded 120 days. So rather narrow grounds, and each one of those grounds are fairly narrowly defined. So these restrictions meant that in many cases, such as pregnancies resulting from rape or incest, were not considered permissible grounds for abortion under the UAE law.
Okay, so what was the UAE's stance before these legislative amendments?
Yes, so the UAE's previous stance on abortion was highly restrictive, which was reflecting both legal and cultural norms influenced by Islamic teachings. The Quran does not explicitly mention abortion, but Islamic scholars have interpreted its teachings to form a basis for the legal framework. And so, which meant that generally abortion was only permissible if the mother's life was in danger or in cases of severe fetal abnormalities. And even then, it had to be within the 120 days of pregnancy. So this was based on interpretations that after 120 days, the fetus was considered to have a soul, making abortion highly contentious.
So what are the new permissible cases under this resolution?
So the new resolution introduces three additional scenarios where abortion is now legal, making the total number of grounds upon which abortion is legal to 5. So the three new grounds are 1, a non-consensual pregnancy, if the pregnancy is a result of non-consensual sex, including rape. 2, incestuous pregnancy, and that is if the person who impregnated the woman is a family member or a mahram in Arabic, such as a father, brother, uncle, or grandfather. And then 3, spousal request, and this is the big news, and that is abortion is now allowed, or at least is possible, at the request of both spouses, although this does require approval from a specialized medical committee.
So it's a significant expansion, Ludmila. How does this resolution aim to protect women?
So the resolution has two main objectives. One, as you rightfully said, is to protect women's health, safety, and stability. And the stance, the regulator's stance is that by regulating permissible abortion cases and clarifying the conditions, restrictions, and procedures involved, you ultimately protect women's health, safety, and stability. And that means that now women don't have to find alternative and perhaps sort of underground options to administer abortions. It is now all legal and done by proper regulated and licensed facilities. And then 2 is to curb ultimately legal and dangerous abortion practices by providing a clear legal framework that it aims to limit the occurrence of unsafe and illegal abortions, which we all can sort of speculate and what that means. And I'm sure some of us may even know specific cases of people who have had to do this because their choices were limited.
Well, you mentioned that word framework there. While we're talking about that, what conditions have to be met for an abortion to be performed under this new law?
Yeah, so the new law sets out kind of 9 principles for the committee and for just overall those who kind of oversee these procedures to be guided by. So one is the medical facility must be licensed to perform abortion. So it's not just any kind of medical facility. That's one. Two, the abortion must be performed by a specialist in obstetrics or gynecology. And then three, abortion must not endanger the pregnant woman's life. Four, abortion must take place within the 120 days of the pregnancy. Five, has to be written consent from the pregnant woman. Then that has to happen prior to the procedure. And if her consent cannot be obtained for one reason or another, the consent must be received from the husband or the woman's guardian. And also, interestingly and importantly to note, is the written consent is not required in emergency cases, which makes sense. Mm. And that just that in of itself, having that specific carve out is quite groundbreaking. And then 6 is the non-Emirati pregnant women must have valid residency for at least 1 year. And this is also interesting because the idea here is that the UAE wants to be very clear that it's not opening up itself as a jurisdiction for women from other countries to come and undergo abortions in the UAE. So the law, the legal framework has become more open. And with time, I assume there'll be a lot more facilities that are proper license to do so. That being said, the UAE does not obviously want to create a reputation for itself as being kind of the medical hub for to invite abortions from other countries. So anybody who, other than non-locals, anyone who wants to go through the procedure is required to have UAE residency to qualify. And then 7, the doctors must provide a detailed report on the pregnancy and the abortion. And then 8, the committee must approve the abortion. And then 9, the women must receive medical and social consultation before and after the procedure, which I think as well shows how sort of forward thinking, if you will, this particular law is. So it's not just, it doesn't just focus on kind of the medical or the scientific administration of the abortion, but also the woman's emotional and kind of psychological well-being. So before and after, which I think is quite, quite insightful because it's not just about let's administer the medical procedure, but I was kind of ensuring that first of all the woman in particular, but perhaps the couple, has seriously considered whether abortion is the right choice for them, and have the proper consultation to kind of guide them along, but also post procedure, and all those women who have had to unfortunately undergo abortion, I'm sure can relate. To the importance of having some kind of a post-procedure consultation and guidance to be able to help them kind of emotionally cope with the consequences after the procedure.
It's a thorough framework, Ludmila. It's a protective framework, very clearly. I've read some of the details, but I'm interested in Article 6 because that's the article in this resolution that mandates the creation of medical committees. And that's committees under each health authority. Can you go into some more detail about what that means?
So Article 6 of the resolution, and I commend you for having read through the resolution. It's very educational of you. And so the article, particularly Article 6 of the resolution, mandates the creation of medical committee under every health authority. And what I mean here by every health authority is that, as we know, the UAE is obviously a country of 7 emirates. And so every emirate has its own health authority. So the idea, so this law is a federal law. So it applies to the all of the UAE across the 7 emirates. But every emirate has its own health authority and kind of subsequent or related agencies related to the kind of ultimate health authority. So the idea here is for every health authority to set up medical committee. And these, so there will be multiple committees, in other words. And so these committees must consist of three doctors, including a specialist in obstetrics and gynecology. And they will oversee abortions and make decisions on whether to approve or reject requests. And their decisions must be medically reasoned and substantiated. So I think that too is quite important, important change and important qualification. So it's not just for the committee to issue a decision, yes or no, but it has to be fairly medically reasoned and substantiated, and there has to be supported by a specific written report.
What criteria do you think will medical committees likely look at when it comes to making decisions?
Well, some of this, we can only speculate, as you rightfully said, but some of this would be based on what is currently included in the law. Some of it is perhaps from the previous practices, and some of it just based on kind of cultural and societal underpinnings. So I would say, I mean, number one, certainly medical necessity. And the committee will be looking at the potential risks to the mother and whether continuing the pregnancy poses a significant threat to her life or health. I'd say that's maybe number one. Number two, obviously, the fetal health and the presence of any severe abnormalities in the fetus that are confirmed by medical reports. And that's in particular in cases of where both spouses, for example, want to terminate pregnancies. So that's because, remember, in that case, you still need the committee's approval. And so I would say that certainly this is one of the factors the committee will be looking at. Three, circumstances of conception. So whether the pregnancy resulted from the non-consensual sex or incest, which are now permissible grounds for abortion under the new resolution. So that certainly will be one important criterion, which hopefully will not require too much ordeal in actually obtaining their approval, kind of going into the specifics of what happened. And then four, spousal agreement. In cases where the abortion is requested by both spouses, the committee will verify the mutual consent and ensure that the decision is well informed. Now, what specific goes into that and which grounds the committee is going to be relying on to approve or disapprove abortions remains to be seen, but we can only speculate that it'll be kind of guided by a whole series of factors, and some of them legal, some of them cultural, some of them societal, some of them emotional. So certainly we will, as more cases come to light, we'll do kind of a follow-up podcast to this, hopefully not such near future. But that case in particular would be an interesting one to further sort of observe and study and shed more light, because that's one particular scenario where this cabinet resolution does not quite clarify in any sort of significant detail, and that is in terms of what factors the committee will be looking at in deciding to allow the couple to undergo abortion. And I'd say number five is just the compliance with the legal conditions, ensuring that, for example, all the legal conditions outlined in the resolution, such as residency requirement and gestational limits, are met.
What about factors and, I guess, limitations? What might apply to a committee's decision on whether an abortion should be allowed?
So we can sort of speculate to an extent, but I'd say the committee decision will have to be influenced by a number of factors. And as you rightfully said, and limitations, you know, one being medical evidence. So the decision should be based on thorough medical evidence and documentation provided by the attending doctors. Number two, as we've already mentioned, gestational age, and that's the abortions can only be performed within 120 days of the pregnancy, except in cases where the mother's life is at risk. Legal compliance, the committee must ensure that the procedure complies with all the legal requirements set forth in the resolution. Number four, I'd say ethical considerations, such as ethical implications of the abortion, including the circumstances of the conception and the health of the fetus and the mother. I'd say, though, that's ethical considerations cannot be ignored. You know, number five, consultation and consent, ensuring that the pregnant woman has received adequate medical and social consultations, and that she provided informed consent, and that's properly documented.
Are there any specific requirements regarding a couple's marital status if a couple decides to request an abortion?
Yes. So the resolution specifies that the request for an abortion on spousal grounds must come from legally married spouses. So this is an interesting caveat. And so if the couple is not legally married, then their request for an abortion would not be considered valid under this specific ground. This means that couples who are cohabitating, for example, or in a relationship but not legally married, would not qualify for an abortion based on mutual consent alone. So they would need to rely on other permissible grounds outlined in the resolution, such as medical necessity or the circumstances of conception, if applicable.
Ludmilla, have medical committees already been formed? And if they have, what's the authority that they, I suppose, sit underneath?
Well, so the law is very new. We're recording this on sort of mid-July, and the law just came into effect a few weeks ago. So the formation of the medical committee is certainly mandated by the resolution, which means that each health authority in the UAE is responsible for establishing these committees. I'd say at this point in time, we have not heard or had confirmation that these specific committees have already been formed. So we can only speculate that the committees will be formed in the near future. But what we know is that the committees will sit under the authority of the respective health authorities, such as the Ministry of Health and the prevention or local health departments in different emirates. I'd say the implementation of the committee is likely in progress, and their role will be to ensure that abortion requests are evaluated and approved or rejected based on medical reasoning and compliance with the new legal framework.
It's fascinating. I have to say, when you sent this through and said this is one of the topics you'd like to discuss, it's such a significant change to me, to anybody that's lived in the UAE for a while. But can you put into words just how significant a change this is for the Emirates?
Absolutely. So as you rightfully said, there are certainly those who like perhaps have different views on the idea of the abortion. But from a legal standpoint, and I'd say also from from a progressive standpoint, this change is highly significant. It represents a major shift in the UAE's approach to reproductive health, reflecting a more progressive stance. And by expanding the permissible cases and providing clear regulatory framework, the UAE is taking a crucial step towards protecting women's health and rights while addressing illegal and unsafe abortion practices. That being said, and I will tell you, as we've already kind of shared the news with the UAE community, we've had mixed responses, and certainly many have welcomed the change, but others have equally criticized it. But as a lawyer and from a legal standpoint, we find this to be a very progressive change because since the UAE started liberalizing its laws and decriminalizing, for example, out of wedlock pregnancies, from there on, at least by some accounts, abortion was going to be the next evolution to the legislative amendments. There are many cases that we, as a law practice, are aware of where people have had to undergo abortions, and these married people. And I personally, I know clients and friends who have had to leave the country in order to perform abortions. And these are married couples, but for medical necessity, they needed to do this, and they just were not able to do it in the country, and then they had to leave to perform these procedures outside of the UAE. From that perspective alone, and this coming from personal experience, I think this is a it's a very welcome change, and it's a progressive and a very important liberalization of the legal framework, which I think ultimately also achieves a fairly healthy balance between legislative change and also cultural and religious values.
It's so important to break down things like this, the important developments like this, Ludmilla. So thank you for that. And it's clear that this is a revolution that marks, I don't want to be corny here, but it's a pivotal moment, I think, in the UAE legal landscape, isn't it?
Absolutely. And this, I would like to think that this will introduce new facilities, new types of medical services, and different new standards for servicing women and couples. From a legal standpoint, from a medical standpoint, and from health and safety standpoint, I anticipate this will introduce a lot of positive development and services and facilities to the UAE that in the long run will improve the quality of life in the UAE and will ensure that more quality professionals are attracted to the country, more quality facilities are being developed, and further developed within the country. And I'd like to think that also it will retain for quality people in the country, which all of these factors are obviously beneficial to the UAE and its economy and well-being in the long run.
Before we wrap up, could you just very quickly summarize the main points and I guess really as well reinforce why this is such an important resolution?
Yes, but perhaps before I do that, I do want to also highlight one issue of criticism, because as I mentioned earlier, there some people have, we've certainly received enough commentary to understand that this is a very polarized issue and that not everybody feels the same way as perhaps we lawyers do or legal professionals do. There are many who criticize this liberalization, and it's interesting just reading through the comments that we've received, where many are starting to liken this particular legislative change to like the U.S., and like what's going to happen next, what other new laws will be introduced as a result. So we need to kind of cover both perspectives and be sensitive to, how big of a change this is for the society at large, and expect that there will be kind of polarization of feelings and sentiments. Many argue that the change conflicts with traditional values and Islamic teachings, which generally place a high value on the sanctity of life. And others are concerned that liberalizing abortion laws could lead to moral and social issues, and fear that it may encourage casual attitude towards abortion. Yet some believe that the criteria for permissible abortions are still too restrictive and do not fully support women's autonomy over their bodies. The criticism comes from different angles, from sort of on two sides of the spectrum. So it's certainly not a simple issue, and quite charged in at many different levels. But we're here. This is a legal podcast. From a legal standpoint, I do have to tell you that this is a very I dare to say kind of exciting legislative change. So basically, just in general, to sum up, perhaps what are the main points about the particular the scope of this resolution is, one is the expansion of permissible cases. Once again, the UAE now allows abortions in three new scenarios, being non-consensual pregnancies, two incestuous pregnancies, and then three at the request of both spouses, although with the committee's approval. Two is the creation of medical committee, which specializes a specialized committee under the health authorities which will specialize and can oversee and approve or reject abortion requests based on medical reasoning. And then three, there's the comprehensive list of conditions and which outlines 9 specific conditions to ensure that abortions are performed safely and legally. So kind of at a high level, the resolution is crucial because it significantly enhances women's rights and safety in the UAE. And by expanding permissible cases, it acknowledges the complex realities women face and provides them with more options. Also, the creation of the medical committee ensures that each case is handled with care and medical expertise, reducing the risks associated with unsafe and illegal abortions. And overall, this progressive move reflects the UAE's commitment to modernizing its legal framework and protecting its citizens' and residents' health and well-being.
That's another episode of Logical, a landmark development in the UAE's legal landscape. As of very recently, it was June the 21st, 2024. We're just midway through July talking about this. It was Cabinet Resolution number 44 of 2024, and it significantly liberalizes the country's stance on abortion and expands the circumstances under which abortion is now permissible. Thank you for listening and or watching, and a huge thanks as ever to our legal expert, managing partner at Yamalava & Plethka in Dubai, Ludmilla Yamalava. Thank you.
Tim, pleasure to be speaking with you as always. Thank you for being here.
You can find us at LY Law. Feel free to reach out to us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, LinkedIn. All the podcasts are free at lylawyers.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Why not give us a like and hit subscribe? And to get a legal question answered either by a qualified UAE experienced legal professional or in an episode of Logical, click on contact at lylawyers.com.